you very much.
Good morning. All right, good morning, everyone. It's so great, so great. It's like you're being in school. Good morning. So good to be back. So encouraging to see lots of ladies. You're all spread out. Fantastic. Let me get this. Okay. Well, the ministry leaders are going to have a meeting. We're going to have a meeting. As soon as I finish this, I'm going into a meeting and we'll find out more about whether and how we're going to do our gatherings this week and moving forward, definitely in March. So please, if you look out for the email, the correspondence, Together Weekly. If you don't get that, please let Jane know on the way out that you would love to receive that. And if you have an email address, that's fantastic. If not, any way to get that correspondence out, because we do send out maybe at least one or two, definitely minimum one, maximum, I don't know how many, but it does go out. So please stay in touch with us. And hopefully we will be able to meet together, but it's in Lord's hands, really. All right, so let me start by touching on last week to set us up for today. In last week's parable, Jesus did not begin the parable with "the kingdom of heaven is like." Right? Normally starts with a parable, "the kingdom of heaven is like," except for last week. And there's a couple that he doesn't, because it really describes how the kingdom begins. Right? The kingdom begins. And we discussed that it begins with the sowing of the seed, the preaching or the sharing of the word, and the planting of the seed in the good soil of our hearts. It was really for the individual. And that seed grows and it produces fruit. And in that parable, Jesus spoke about four different kinds of soil. And in this week's parable, Jesus actually focuses on the good soil. The other three, the path, the rocky ground, and the thorns, drop out of sight. And now Jesus just looks at the good soil. It is on. Volume? If I'm speaking, there should be a green little meter that goes up and down on the sound desk. Yep. If you want to slide the bar up a bit. Testing. There we go. That's better. Yeah, look, Sue. There you go. We've got a position on the tech team, Sue. Yep, there you go. So, now, as Jesus looks at the good soil, he gives us three parables, right? So I'm going to touch on those three today. So he gave me one to do, but I'm going to touch on the three. The mustard seed and the yeast, it kind of follows up on the wheat and the weeds. Okay, so we'll just touch on it a little bit. So we'll look at the parable of the wheat and the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the yeast. All right, in last week's parable, the parable of the sower, which Anna did a fantastic job in covering, all the seeds were good. Right, it was the soil or where it landed that was the problem. But we've got a change of gear now, and it's different. It's the seed that's the problem in the parable today, right? There are two seeds mentioned in the parable, the good and the bad. So let's have a look at the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Now, since you have read and discussed this parable this morning in length, at depth, I'm sure you're abreast of the main points of the parable, and it helps us when Jesus himself actually unpacks it for us. Isn't it so good? When you look at verse 37 to 43 of Matthew, he unpacks it for us. And so it makes my job so much easier. But I want to look at seven elements of this parable and just to go over with you this morning. First, the field. Right, which is mentioned in verse 38. The field is the world. Now, many commentators and preachers, teachers have treated this parable that it's about the church, right? But it is quite clear it's not about the church, but it's about the world, right? They've used it in the past. They've used it to show us that there can never be a pure church, that there can be evil in the church. Now, that is certainly true on this side of eternity. And while there are some application of this parable for us in the church, this parable is not about the church. It's about the world. And Jesus clearly said the field is the world, right? We need to put it into that context. The second element of this parable, the owner. Now, Matthew 13:24-37, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The one who sows the good seed owns the field. It is his field, right? We know that the field is the world. So the sower of the good seed is the owner of the whole world. Right? Owner of the whole world. And notice that Jesus says that one who sows the good seed, the owner of the world, is the Son of Man. Now he used this title for himself 84 times in the gospel, and he always referred to himself in the title, use of that title. Right? So what he's indirectly saying is that I am the owner. I am the sovereign one. I have authority over this world. Thirdly, the enemy. Right? Verses 25 and 39. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. The enemy is the devil. The owner, Jesus, has an enemy, and we cannot understand this world, the world that we live in, as it is today, without considering the enemy and his work in this world. Now, Jesus tells us that his enemy is the devil in verse 39. And if you do not believe in the devil, remember that Jesus did and still does. The work of Jesus' enemy is vast, and he too works the field. He works in the world. Or, like we say, in the world. And we are reminded that it takes place in the cover of darkness, right? While everyone is or was sleeping, right? The devil came and planted those bad seeds. Now, there are many lessons we can take from light and darkness, sleeping and staying awake, right? Being awake, but that's for another time. And maybe another series in Woman in the Word, right? Light and darkness, who knows? There you go. I'll throw something at you, Sue. All right, fourthly, the seed. There are two types of seed, one good and the other bad. Verse 38, the scripture says, the good seed are the sons of the kingdom and the weeds are the sons of the devil, right? In the parable of the sower, we looked at last week, the seed was the word of God that was sown into the fertile soil, the good soil of our hearts. But here, in this parable, the seeds are children of God who are growing where they have been planted in the world. Okay? Now we have the good one, and there are two sowers, right? There are two kinds of seed. Simply put, the wheat, the children of God, are those who does the will of God and live according to God's will for their lives. The we, the children of the devil, are those who live in accordance with their will for their own lives, right? Their own way, and they want to be God of their own lives. Right? Very simply put, right? Obviously, there's more in that. Notice the destructiveness of the enemy's work. The aim of the evil one is not simply to hinder, right? To hinder, but to destroy a bountiful harvest. Right? Not only to hinder, but to destroy a bountiful harvest. Now there's a question, right? This is the fifth one. There's a question in verse 27. Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? Now this is interesting. The servants come and ask, "Didn't you sow good seeds? What you planted, wasn't it good?" And the answer would be, "Yes, of course I did. It was good, and it is good." Then the follow-up question, then where did the weeds come from? Where did it all come from? Now, if we ask it this way, if you sow good seeds, then how come there's weeds, right? So if planted good seeds, how come there's weeds? There's an underlying question of, could there be bad seeds or something that you planted wasn't good? Now, commentators relate these questions to, if God is good, then why is there so much evil, so much pain, so much suffering, so much sin in the world? Right? Why is there so much of that? Now, this is a profound question, and it arises in every generation. Right? It arises in every... Where does this evil come from? Why is there so much sin? If Jesus triumphed over evil on the cross, then why is it flourishing today? All this pain and suffering. Now, Jesus is clear in saying that the enemy has planted the weeds. It is the work of the devil, and it continues today in our midst. Now, grace comes with Jesus for us now. However, judgment will come, and at that time, there will be justice, there will be restoration, there will be renewal. So what's going to happen between now and then, the time that we live in? Right? And this is my sixth point. There should be and there will be growth. Verse 30 says, when asked if the servants should pull them out, Jesus is quick to respond, "Let both grow together until the harvest." Let both grow together. Why let it grow together? Knowing that the bad seed, the weed, is of the devil, why not pull them out? Well, let's have a look at this. And if you can show the first picture, please. Oh, there it is. Well, in the early stages of the weed, dung or tares, it is referred to, there's not much difference, especially when it's sprouting. They cannot tell the difference. And even in that picture, if you look at it from a distance, or if you're in the mix of all these, you can't really tell. But it's when it's at harvest time, thanks Anna, harvest time, you see a noticeable difference between the wheat, which is on the left, and the wheat, the tares or the darnel on the right, right? So there's a noticeable difference. Now, when Jesus uses this parable, the people hearing this would know this. And they go, "Yeah, we know. We know what you're talking about." Right? When it's the right time to pull this out, or separate the wheat and the wheat, we know, because we know how different they will look. But in the beginning, in the early stages, we don't know. Right? In the early stage of the wheat and the wheat, you cannot tell them apart. They are similar. It is only at harvest when it is ripe, it is noticeably different. Now, we are instructed not to pursue such people in an effort to destroy them. Because for one thing, we don't know if immature or innocent believers might be hurt in the process by it. Right? This is in the church, but also in the world. Right? Jesus is talking about in the world. Further, one has only to look into the past, our history. Right? Look at the Spanish Inquisition. Look at the Crusades to see the results of Christians taking upon themselves the responsibility of separating true believers from false, which a task which is only reserved for God. Right? We are not called to pull out the weeds in the world, but we are actually called to grow together. Instead of requiring these false believers to be rooted out of the world and possibly hurting new or immature believers in the process, Christ allows them to remain until his return. And at that time, the angels will separate the true from the false, the good from the bad, the wheat from the weeds. Right, in addition, we are not to take it upon ourselves to uproot believers, because the difference between true and false believers isn't always obvious. Right, isn't always obvious. And as mentioned, weeds, especially in the early stages, stages of growth resemble the wheat as well. All right, so we can't, in reality, tell the difference. Likewise, a false believer may resemble a true believer. Right? In Matthew 7:22, Jesus warned that many profess faith but do not know him. Thus, each person should examine our own relationship with Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:5, that we are called to examine our own relationship with Christ. Evil will grow alongside the good until Christ returns. Now, is this world getting better or is it getting worse? Both. This world is getting better, and it is also at the same time getting worse. The good seed is growing and producing fruit, and the weeds are growing too in the mix. With every week that passes, they are larger and more deeply rooted than before. However, patience is needed before God's purpose is fulfilled in all of its glory here on earth. Right? Okay, lastly, the harvest. Verse 30. At the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, right? The owner, Jesus, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, we are living in a day of God's grace. The judgment day has not yet come. And until that day, this is what the kingdom will look like. Good wheat in the field laced with weeds. Right? Good wheat in the field laced with weeds. Now, he calls us to live and grow in this world until he comes and brings about the righteous judgment in which all will be brought to account before him. Now, that day will come, and when it does, the weeds will be gathered and bound together in bundles and burned. Evil, pain, suffering, the sins of this world will be no more. But how will the kingdom grow in the world today? Jesus gives us a picture of how the kingdom will grow. And Jesus adds these to this parable, the two parables that follow, to explain how the kingdom of God will actually grow. And the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast, they both have a very humble beginning. Very small, minute, small beginning. But the mustard seed grows into a large tree. And in the Gospels, in another Gospel, he says that where the birds of the air come and rest and they are fed, right? That is a picture of the kingdom. And the yeast, which permeates throughout the whole dough, right? It affects and influences the whole batch, even though a very small amount. What is Jesus saying here? We are going to have small, humble beginnings. But we will permeate. We will go to the ends of the world. Leading up to the harvest, the kingdom of God will grow from small beginning in Jerusalem with a band of 11, but it will grow and permeate and spread to the ends of the world, right? And we are part of that story. Now, we know, because we have 2,000 plus years of history, just to look back how that has been played out. And we are in the midst of the wheat now, today, right? As we, as part of that story, each one of us here, right? We think, oh my goodness, there's so much pain, so much suffering. Look at Ukraine, right? We shared that on Ignite Prayer Night on Sunday. We shared that Ukraine is the number one country in Europe sending out missionaries in the world, right? And we know that 70 plus percent of Ukrainians are Christians, proclaimed Christians. And we have to ask the question, why, Lord? Why in that country that love you so much? There's wheat and there's weeds. Jesus explains that it is the evil one. It is the devil who will plant, right? So the weeds will grow, that the weeds will grow in and amongst the good there is. Okay. So three takeaway for us today. Knowing that we are to live in this world as wheat with the weeds, and we're not here to pull out those weeds, right? We are to grow together. Firstly, let's stay engaged. Right? Verse 30 says, let both grow together. Where has God planted you? Let's stay engaged. Whether it's in the church or in the marketplace, wherever God has planted you, let's stay engaged with the world. Right? We are called to be in the world, but not of it. Right? John 17, 16. We are called to be in the world, but not of it. Let's not withdraw from the world, but let's engage with it. Right? And remember the yeast. It influences the whole dough, the whole batch. May you be that yeast, right? Wherever God has placed you. Wherever God, Jesus, plants seeds, right? The good seeds. Satan will also plant his weeds. So wherever we are, we need to blossom. Right? Augustine said, those who are wheat today may be wheat tomorrow. We don't know. Right? So let's be that influencer wherever God has placed us. Second point, practice tolerance. Once again, we need to grow together. So the word tolerance, right, had been hijacked by the culture. It was actually a great word, and it used to mean showing patience and forbearance towards people with whom we radically disagree, and it was a Christian virtue. Now it's been used to mean affirming what others affirm, but there is no need for tolerance between people who affirm the same convictions, right? If you agree with the other person, what is there to tolerate? There isn't, really. But tolerance, like I said, was and is a wonderful Christian virtue that is needed where there are deep-seated disagreements. It means showing patience, forbearance towards people we find difficult and with whom we radically disagree. Right? So as wheat, you will know there are wheat amongst your daily life, right? There are people out there who, for whatever reason, just rubs you the wrong way, right? You just could not get it. God calls us to be patient and to bear with that and permeate into that person the goodness of Christ so that one day, maybe, that person, by the grace of God, will become a wheat, right? Okay. It doesn't mean passivity, right? It doesn't mean that you give up your concern for the other person's spiritual condition. Now, Jesus makes it clear that in this world, the wheat needs to grow alongside the wheat until the Son of Man comes. So let's always remember the mission that the church is sowing seeds, not pulling out weeds. Okay? All right. Lastly, let's live with an anticipation of the harvest. Verse 43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. God will harvest the wheat. He will bring his people home, and the righteous will shine like the sun. The question is, with whom will we be bundled on that day? Right? We need to have our personal journey with Christ in check. Right? We need to know and live with that day is coming. One day that day is coming that I will be in front of Jesus, and we need to be accountable for my life, right? We will be judged, all of us. Now, pray that we be found in the bundle of life with the people of God who submit their lives to King Jesus and stand before the Father in the grace that we find in Him. So in closing, let's take away these thoughts. And hope you meditate on them throughout the week. Are we wheat or weed? Right? Are we wheat or weed? Do we stay engaged? Do we practice patience and forbearance? Or do we live? And do we live with a harvest in mind? Because if we do, our choices, our decisions won't be the same as the world. Okay? So let me pray. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you. We thank you for this gathering that you have blessed us with. We thank you for the series that we're going through with the parables. And as we engage each week, Lord, open scripture to us that we may know, that we may truly understand the meaning of these scriptures and these parables, and that we may be able to apply them to our lives. And as we share the parable of the wheat and the weed, Father, we do pray for those around us who are the weed. We pray for them that they will come to know you, and that in time they too will become weed. But for us, strengthen us in our faith as we live in the world, but not of it. Help us to discern, help us to know your will for our lives. And give us the courage and also the strength to submit and surrender our life to you, that your will be done in our lives, that your glory will shine through us, that your kingdom will permeate and grow, not as we expect it, but as your will, as it is done in heaven. Through each and every single one of us gathered here this morning. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks.